on a Monday morning. It is snowy and 8 above. And our buddy Jason Cann's on the line for the best 5 minutes of the day. Good morning.
Good morning.
That was a little longer off-air visit than we usually get. I called you like 2 minutes early today,
yeah.
And that was significantly earlier.
Yeah. Much earlier, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we had breakfast Saturday morning in Eau Claire, Randy's Family Restaurant, and that seems like it was a long time ago. It was only 2 days ago?
Yeah, that's the rumor. I mean, it was a busy weekend, so I think that's accurate.
Okay. Well, it's a birthday day in your house and mine. Why don't you go first?
So Ian turns 16 today.
Wow.
Yeah, so Heather and I were visiting already about that this morning a little bit. That she said, you know, at this time 16 years ago, probably getting ready to go into labor. We were induced with him. So, well, Heather was induced. I wasn't. I was there for the process. But so 16 years old. It's almost unfathomable.
Mm.
I had said we've lived a lot of life since that time. So, and she said most of it in this house.
People ask about the driving thing with 16. So where's he at with that?
Yeah. So he has his temps. We have 0 hours behind the wheel so far. Just with show choir stuff and music, it has been so busy to be able to get to that. And so we're looking for a reprieve in the schedule to be able to get to that. And because, again, with so many shows and so forth, there's always practice. And neither Heather nor I want to drive him next year. You know?
Right.
And so we want to get his license as soon as he can. So
we're kind of wanting that for our 16-year-old Elena, too. And she just got her temps on Friday, last week, Thursday or Friday. So anyhow, similar journeys. Well, my wife has a birthday today. I'm not going to give her age, but just on the side, she may be totally cool with it, but let me err on the conservative side and say she's 39 again. So happy 39th birthday to her.
Perfect.
Again today.
Yeah.
And
that sounds good.
She had somebody, we were at an event in the last month or two, and somebody came up to her and said, you know, I got to say, and this guy I hadn't seen him for a long time, and he's just like, you look the same as you did, you know, like, the rest of us are getting older, Peggy, but you look the same. So that was a nice compliment she received. So
that is a nice compliment.
But I would tell
looks
you,
like somebody got her cheese for her birthday.
Yes. Oh, so you saw that post on Facebook. Yeah, right.
I did.
Yeah.
I was a little jealous. Yeah, that's nice.
Well, you know, we chatted a little bit about it, and we've had Marika Gouda is first time I stopped there in Thorpe. That's quite the store. Have you been there?
It is, yeah. Yeah, you bet. A couple times I've been there.
And so
good stuff. Definitely worth a visit.
I had a gift card from there that had been burning a hole for quite a while and then went above and beyond that. And so, you know, just to kind of deluged her with cheese and cheese curds. And
perfect.
So she was enjoying some of that, so. All right,
do
we have any time for any more content? I think we do. We're working our way through Colossians chapter 1, and I think we're up to, what is it, 16?
16, yeah.
Why don't you do I've got only half the letters to the beloved in front of me, so I don't know if you can read the verse and read a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, you bet. So I've got it in Colossians, or in the NLT here, and it says, for through him God created everything in heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him.
Hmm.
Yeah, and so then I wrote in there, you know, that my son, Spirit, and I created every good thing from the beginning. We made what you can see and what you cannot see, things above and things below.
So how do you deal with that? Now, again, whether it's young Earth, old Earth, intelligent design, you talk about evolution, creation, but this is, you know, the biblical view that through, echoing John 1, that through Jesus and for Jesus, all things were made, nothing was made without him. So how do you deal with that if you're a high schooler?
Yeah, it's that's a great question. You know, I think for me, where the rubber meets the road here is that it's all about Jesus. You know, I think it's easy to kind of compartmentalize faith. And this section in Colossians 1 or 15 to 20 in chapter 1 there is really about the supremacy of Jesus in all things, not just for salvation, not just for, you know, it's about Jesus is in and involved in everything. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think that's really the punch or the take-home point with this.
Absolutely. And I'm typing in, it's all about Jesus, because that sounds like it should be a song. And it's got it. I've got it from Planet Shakers. So there you go. What a lead into a song there this morning.
Perfect.
Great stuff. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Buddy Jason Cann's kicking off the week here on a birthday day in his house and mine. All right, who's got a birthday today? And I'm going to start off with my better half, Peggy Halverson, with a birthday today. And she's got a fundraiser on Facebook for Teamwork Africa, trying to raise $500. But if she raised $1,000, she wouldn't be upset about that. So happy birthday to my wonderful, beautiful, talented, gifted wife, Peggy, who has dedicated herself so much to her family and to her family in Liberia. 140 kids getting their school paid for through Teamwork Africa, and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears helping make that possible. So a song with her in mind coming up here. But we've got other folks like our buddy Jason Cann's. Now, his son Ian is not as old as is listed on Facebook, but he is 16 today, so happy 16th birthday, Ian. Kayleen Soden sharing this as a birthday. I know that Renee Couture has this as a birthday. Happy birthday, Renee. Megan Childs, State Representative Warren Petrick, January 24th, a birthday. And Dr. Stephen Cook, what a delightful guy he is. And happy milestone birthday to Dr. Cook today. All right. Also, other birthdays to share today. We check our multiple lists. I don't have the CCM artist list in front of me, so my apologies. But singer Aaron Neville, 81. Another singer, Neil Diamond, 81. Can we get a little Sweet Caroline? Olympics gymnast Mary Lou Retton, 54. That's the feel-old birthday of the day for me. I don't know about you. Matthew Lillard from Scooby-Doo and She's All That, 52. Ed Helms from The Office, 48. Kristen Shaw from The Last Man on Earth, 44. And Misha Barton from The O.C. is 36. Our promise of the day is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, paraphrased, my love will persevere through every situation. I'd memorize these verses. I don't know. I've got it in front of me, but the whole thing's worth saying, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. Is not proud. Is not rude. Is not self-seeking. Is not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. You know what? I'm really grateful. And go check out the devotion that goes with that. And I'll read it, too, at 365promises.com. But a good reminder, like, I memorized that back in the day, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And we want to be people of love. And so to be thinking about this wonderful passage on love is just a great, great idea. So for Peggy and all the others having a birthday today.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
All right, that is the pop birthday song. But also, this is really the song I had in mind. It's a song I think of when I think about it's my wife's birthday, a wholehearted song from Sidewalk Prophets. Well, we said we'd do it. We talked to John, the Niners fan, the other day, a Wisconsinite who's a Niners fan. He says it ties into his grandpa, and we said, well, let's talk again on Monday. And yes, Packers fans, we hoped that it would be the Packers who had won, but John's on the line. John, it didn't turn out that way, did it?
It did not. We talked a little bit about how watching good football is more important to me. And outside of the opening drive by the Packers, which looked great, there wasn't a whole lot of good football after that. It didn't look like either team really, really wanted to win very bad.
Yeah, but Well, I think they wanted to win bad. The weather was rough out there. But, yeah, the Niners struggled. You had to be frustrated when shortly before halftime your quarterback threw that interception, Adrian Amos. I mean, you had to be like, ah, no, right?
At that point, everybody thought, oh, it's over. The Packers are going to take it away. But then come back out at halftime, but the Niner defense was great. They stopped a lot of drives, but the offense had nothing to show for it.
Right.
Who would have guessed special teams would have been the deciding factor whole game?
Apparently, Matt LaFleur, who I totally love, but he was quoted by the broadcasters as saying he didn't want that to hopefully that doesn't mess things up, and ultimately it did. It's 10-3, 4:41 to go in the game. The Packers punting, and a punt is like, you know, you're just kind of yawning, sitting back in the ESPN. And so I know how Packer fans like me reacted. Like, what? Stunning disbelief. The ball's high up in the air. They gobble it up. They run in. What was your perspective as a Niners fan?
I couldn't believe I was amazed that they blocked it, even though they had blocked the field goal. But then everybody, both teams were standing around like, where'd the ball go?
Know,
and all of a sudden it falls out of the sky.
Yeah.
One of the Niners fans goes, hey, I'll take this, and runs it in.
Right. Well, congratulations to San Francisco. I know you've beaten the Rams 6 times in a row, but I think the toughest one is going to be this next one on Sunday in Los Angeles for the right to go to the Super Bowl. So.
I think you're right. I think, all 4 games this weekend were great. Especially last night's game. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, congratulations, John, and we'll look for good football this weekend. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
All right, and his wife, who I do work with in my other job, did text me, happy dance, happy dance. All right, our usual Monday visit with our buddy Drew Fralick in Michigan, wearing so many hats. He's an interim pastor. He's a counselor and a comedian. I think you're leaving the counseling deal, though, right?
Yeah, this is my last week, or next week will be my last day. Yeah, next Monday, that'll be something.
And then you'll have the interim pastoring and then the comedy, but you really, like, you don't know what's next beyond interim pastoring.
Yeah, we should name this segment, like, Help Drew Find His Way or something.
Okay,
like
that. All right.
You'll figure it out.
Well, part of it is 13th wedding anniversary, you and your wife today, so happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been 13 years. I was just sort of reflecting on on marriage in general this morning, and I was thinking, you know, what if this is just a joke idea? But what if, like, what if your marriage license were like your driver's license, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like you get a notice in the mail. And it's like, oh, it's going to expire in 30 days. You better get down to the Secretary of State's office and renew it, you know. You don't want to be, like, caught on a date with your wife without a current license. You know, you could face fines and time in jail, you know, so I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Get that renewed.
My comedy idea of the weekend, I drove to Wausau. There was black ice on the way on Saturday to my son's wrestling tournament. It was JV State. And as I thought to my, I don't know, just you have time to think. And I was just like, what if instead of being pulled over and the classic, you know, were you drinking? Because there's drowsy driving is a problem. And I was a little concerned coming back, and I was kind of tired, and it was like, I got to go. I'm like, sir, have you been getting enough sleep? You know, or, you know, it's like, you know, what if the question was, sir, have you been sleeping? And I'm like,
sir, have you been drinking coffee? Because you need to.
Right. Have you been sleeping? Because it seems like maybe you were while you were trying to drive. So anyhow, no laughing matter, I'm sure, but I was just kind of juxtaposing those. And speaking of comedy, Minnesota native and stand-up comic, game show host, actor, and author Louis Anderson, dead at the age of 68 since we last spoke. He dies of blood cancer.
Right. It seems like am I just like imagining this? But it seems like a lot of comedians are dying in the last like couple of months. You had Norm, you had Bob, now you have Louis.
Uh-huh.
I think there's been a few others too. It's like we're like in a comics chat group online. Some of them were saying, you know, like there's just more comics now. And that's why it seems like more people are dying. I don't know.
It's
weird.
But I wanted to just briefly touch on Wikipedia for Anderson. It says he described his father as abusive and an alcoholic. And I think he did in one of his 4 books, he did elaborate on that more. But it seems like for a lot of comedians, there is sort of that darker past, and comedy was something that they did to cope, you know, and then making other people laugh, right?
Sure. I mean, like, when I was in Shanghai, I knew lots of comics that had lots of dark stuff in their history. They use comedy as, like, a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
You know, it was literally, I knew a guy that was, comedy was literally the thing that was keeping him from drinking. Like, he had an alcohol problem, and that was, it was like he knew, okay, Friday night, I'm not going to be, you know, at the bar. I'm going to be up on stage, so I got to stay sober.
Yeah.
And working through that stuff was how he worked. That was his therapy, you know what I mean? So it makes sense. I get it. I get the concept.
In fact, Eddie Murphy, I guess, I don't know, it says in the Wikipedia, it talks about Eddie Murphy saying about Louis Anderson, he described him as the funniest white guy around. So not a bad compliment,
that's
I guess.
High praise.
Hey, we'll talk to you next Monday, Drew. Thanks a lot, our buddy Drew Fralick in Michigan. Drew's Journey here on WWIB. WWIB. And a long drive over a stretch that included some black ice along the way from Eau Claire to Wausau was my cautionary tale on Saturday morning. Michael was in JV State for wrestling, and you see cars in the ditch. I saw two semis. Just when I got there, I'm like, thank you, Lord. You
know? I know. Like, sigh of relief.
Yes, for sure. So, and, you know, you get grateful for the law enforcement and all the... you never know when you may need a tow. I was seeing evidence of that for sure. And then, yes, as painful as the Packers' loss and season-ending defeat was at home and the way it all went down, the best part about that game was my daughter Elena watched the first half with me and peppered me with questions, and she's like, I'd like to learn more about football.
Wow.
So that was fun because a lot of times I'm there watching the game by myself. So
sure. Yeah, so speaking of long drives, I didn't make one, but I really was blessed by my sister Hannah and her husband Sean, and their three children came up from Rochester, Minnesota to see us. And so we really enjoyed spending a good chunk of Saturday with them. The cousins all played together. They have a two-month-old baby Genevieve, and so I got lots of baby snuggles in. And so that was great to be able to hold my little niece for a long time. We played some games, Splendor, and then went old school and played Scattergories. So I had a great time with that. And again, it was a great weekend of NFL football. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Packers game did not end the way I wanted, and that game maybe wasn't quite as fun with the way it ended. The way it started was great. But shout out to the Packers defense. They did a phenomenal job. Mm. And then just every other game, to have every single game end on a walk-off score, it was very entertaining. Probably more football than I've watched in a single weekend all year long. And so I really enjoyed that. And then kind of went to bed early and got some good rest last night. So feeling pretty good about that.
There we go. We're ready to go on a Make Us Laugh Monday. Make Us Laugh Monday. The listeners are getting active this morning. We don't usually hear from them frequently until after we've shared.
I think our track record the last couple weeks, they're like, we got to help those fellas out.
Exactly. All right. The first of my three this morning. You know, Caleb, air used to be free at the gas station. Now, some places it costs $2.50. You want to know why?
No, I would love to know.
Inflation. Yeah.
Man.
It's really everywhere. About inflation that. Is everywhere these days.
Well, what happened, Alvo, when the frog got a flat tire?
What?
He got towed.
There you go.
Start weak, get stronger.
Frog and toad, great kids' books. All right. Hey, how many telemarketers, Caleb, does it take to change a light bulb?
I'm not sure.
Well, only one, but he has to do it during dinner time.
Oh, well, this is a little fun fact about me. For the 10th year in a row, I was voted most secretive guy in the office.
Wow.
I can't tell you how much this means to me.
Okay, and finally this morning, I want to remember the late, great Louis Anderson. He left us here in the last few days at the age of 68 due to blood cancer. Minnesota native. I mean, he was a comedian, an author, a game show host, an actor, who once said his first words were, "Seconds, please."
All right, one more for me on a Make Us Laugh Monday. 715-396-1670 if you can do better, which may not be hard. Well, I was out walking in the cemetery, and I found a typo on a tombstone.
Really?
I guess someone made a grave mistake.
There you go.
I actually really did like that one. It is a Make Us Laugh Monday, starting our week out on the right note. We had Crystal and JoJo from Sheldon offering this one up.
Good morning, guys. I have a joke for you for the Make Us Laugh Monday. This is for my son, JoJo. So there was a Mexican magician who was traveling the nation. And for his grand finale, he told the crowd that he was going to disappear on the count of three. So the crowd was all excited, and he says, uno. Nothing happens. Everyone's waiting. Then he says, dos. Everybody's waiting. And then he was gone without a trace. Have a good day, guys.
I'm getting very sleepy.
I found that maybe it's dad-dom, but I can fall asleep at the drop of a hat when I don't want to. Whenever I'm trying to watch a movie with the kids or read them a story or whatever. But then when I want to sleep, then I'm wide awake.
You work hard, and I don't. My question, do you sleep hard? I mean, once you're out, are you out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, I can be wakened. It's amazing, though. I've had this conversation with my wife because I feel like I'm a much lighter sleeper. She feels... And she's like, yeah, but when the kids were young, it seems like... And there's that built-in maternal instinct for moms, it seems like, that they just hear.
Well, and that's the thing. And I, again, as I look back, you always think, man, I should have done a lot more to help my wife. But in all honesty, I truly did not hear them.
Yeah,
I slept that hard that I did not hear them. Now, what else could I have done to ensure that I did? That's something to look back retrospectively about. However, I really was like, wow, kids had a great night. Slept out. Nope.
Right.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, mental exercises are a great way to get your mind off of the day's worries and board the train to snooze town. But counting the sheep the old-fashioned way isn't as effective as it could be. Here's what you should do instead, according to Dr. Michael Bryce.
Bruce, I think.
Bruce, okay. Yeah, a sleep doctor and a fellow... with the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, he says instead of counting up one at a time, he suggests you count backwards from 300 in threes.
Still sheep?
It doesn't matter. 300, 297, 294, 291. Now, again, for some people, I guess maybe that would work. I don't know. They've researched it.
So. He says the process is complicated enough, just complicated enough for your brain that you can't think of anything else, and it's boring. Which is why we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Come back from 303.
Here's the thing I
to
find.
Fall asleep.
That's more doable than, like, try to do the alphabet backwards. That just completely throws me.
Yeah. So try it. If you're an insomniac, I also would recommend some MyPillow products in there as well. But, yeah, that January bedding sale going on right now. But, yeah, count backward from threes and let us know how it works. And if you are still struggling in the morning to feel awake, alive, and enthusiastic, we've got you covered.
267, the Wib Wake Up Show. 264, 261, 258.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
And if there's ever any questions, you can tell them it's 'cause I like it.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
They go
pick me out a winner, Bob.
I consider myself
a good little contender.
We're going to play which came first this morning. We invite you to play along at home as I pose these five compare and contrast to Caleb. And I'll say this one or that one, and he'll tell me which came first.
Okay? Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I'm all hype here.
All right. So we've got five. And we begin here on a Monday morning.
All right.
The ballpoint pen or the Band-Aid? Caleb, which came first?
The ballpoint pen or the Band-Aid?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Which came first?
Man, I thought the Band-Aid was like 1930s or something, but I may be wrong about that. I am going to say the ballpoint pen. Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Actually, the Band-Aid arrived in the 20s and the ballpoint pen in 1938.
Rats. Uh-huh. Okay, 0 for 1.
All right, but these next four, they're within reach, okay?
Okay.
These next two, I'm going to tell you, were very close. So this is
rats. Really,
this is probably...
a good toss-up.
From a year standpoint, this is the toughest one. So here we go. Caleb, which came first, the Slinky or the mobile telephone service? The Slinky or the mobile telephone service?
Man, I feel like it's Slinky. I really do.
Uh-huh.
Do I trust my gut here if they're close? Or do I go... I'm going to say mobile telephone because I think it's Slinky, and I was wrong last time when I trusted my gut.
All right, so actually...
Rats.
Yeah, they're very close. The Slinky is... Should have trusted your gut. I wanted to say that. Should I have? I don't know.
No.
The Slinky is 1945. The mobile telephone service, 1946.
Wow. That's really close.
Yeah, that's,
okay.
That's really.
I got to go 3 for 3 here.
Who put this quiz together?
Record.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Caleb, which came first, the Rubik's Cube or the bread-making machine? Which came first, the Rubik's Cube or the bread-making machine?
Rubik's Cube?
And that's your answer?
Yes, it is.
And that's correct.
All right.
Yes, the Rubik's Cube was 1974.
Okay.
And the bread-making machine, 1986.
We used to have one of those.
Will Smith in what was Life, what was the movie? But it's like the guy who's putting, he could solve the Rubik's Cube so amazingly fast. Anyhow, he was like a homeless guy and then getting a job. I'll have to look it up.
Pursuit of Happiness?
Pursuit of Happiness. That's
all right.
It. Thank you.
Can I that count as an extra
that
one?
Can
Hold
count
on.
As, yes, that's extra credit.
There!
I got to say, for our wedding in 1998, and it's my wife's birthday today. We're just
Happy
setting
birthday,
up
Peggy.
A lunchtime at Acoustic. But we got not one, not two. We got 3 bread makers.
Nice.
All right, here we go. Caleb, which came first, the floppy disk or hairspray? Which came first, the floppy disk or hairspray?
They both sound like 80s things to me. I am going to say hairspray.
You're
going to
say hairspray, and you're right.
Yes.
Hairspray came in 1955. The floppy disk didn't come till 71.
Oh, I was wrong about the 80s on them both.
Whatever, you got it right. You're 2 out of 4. You're
okay.
Ready to go.
All right, one
and
more. One
you're
more.
You're going to finish here. And this could get it up to, you know,
come
600%.
On. Come on.
Finally, which came first, the LP record or sliced bread? Which came first, the LP record or sliced bread?
I feel like it's sliced bread, and I'm going to go with that. Sliced bread?
Absolutely.
Yes!
20-year difference. Sliced bread, 1928.
Thank you.
Boosting your self-image today. Sliced bread, 1928. The LP record, 1948. So.
There we go. All right. Fun game, Alvo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot more fun when
you
I win.
You finished strong. And the extra credit to boot.
Yes, there you go.